Minister of Canada says the cow and its entire herd have been quarantined and will be depopulated. He emphasized that at no time did the infected cow enter the food chain. It's Canada's first case of mad cow disease since they imported a sick cow from Britain in 1990. The disease has never been detected in cattle in the U.S. Security forces within Saudi Arabia claim three Al-Qaeda members have been arrested there. They say the arrest took place in the port city of Jeddah on the Red Sea. The one source said that one of the detainees is cooperating with authorities. It's not clear if the three are connected to last week's Chinese health official says SARS has peaked in the country's biggest cities, such as Beijing, and that it does not show signs of spreading to China's countryside. However, authorities there warn the situation in the country remains grave after being hard hit by the fatal respiratory illness. International health officials are afraid the disease could be impossible to contain if it reaches rural areas of China. The country reported five more deaths today from SARS, along with 17 new infections. Four of those who died and seven new infections were in Beijing. Last week, the city reported almost 50 cases daily. 2 weeks ago, as many as 150 cases were being logged every day. Researchers at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas have developed software that will soon be installed on hundreds of computers nationwide that deal with sensitive Homeland Security documents. For 3 years, UNLV's Information Science Research Institute worked on developing the ECDISIS classification system under contract with the Department of Energy.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A judge has entered a not guilty plea for convicted Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols in his state murder case. Nichols was ordered to stand trial on 162 counts of first-degree murder earlier this month in connection with the 1995 bombing of the Murrah Federal Building. Judge Stephen Taylor entered the plea after the defense attorneys announced they were standing mute because of pending motions in the case. Lead defense attorney Brian Hermanson told the court a lot more investigative work needs to be done before he's ready to go to trial. He says at least 3 million documents have been filed in the case, and he estimates if he read each one for just a minute, it would take 14 years to review all of the material. Hermanson says he may not be ready to go to trial until January 2005. Judge Taylor did not set a trial date. If convicted, Nichols faces the death penalty.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A teenager from northwest Minnesota has learned the truth behind the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Over the weekend, the 17-year-old allegedly tried to sell marijuana to a man on a motorcycle. That man turned out to be local sheriff Brad Athman.
I was driving my motorcycle off-duty through town and with a full-face helmet on, and he took it upon himself thinking that this motorcycle driver may want what he's selling, and he made the gesture and he made the offer to me, and was later on very surprised to find out it was me.
The teen was arrested. He faces a felony charge because the crime took place within 1,500 feet of a school. A late rally saved stocks from finishing with deep losses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 2 points to finish at 84.91. The NASDAQ recovered from steep losses and finished down a point to 14.91. The S&P 500 lost 1 point and ended at 9.19. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby like us with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we're saved by the news.
Well, good evening. Just washed my teeth and I can't do anything with them. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here. Thank you for joining us about 7:30 past the hour. Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay, as always. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Welcome if you're listening on the IE America Radio Network, also Sirius Channel 145, radiopower.org, and if you're listening tomorrow, then you're probably picking the program up from whiteroadsociety.org. Remember, Bush Free Fridays is back. Again, this Friday we're going to do it. We did it one time, and then Kathy and I went to New York City. So this Friday, Bush Free Fridays. And speaking of Manor Monkey, we have some audio for you tonight of W agonizing over the plight of the Mexican spotted owl. You got to hear it to believe it. However, we want to start right off. You know, we are on an elevated alert status now. What is it now, Kathy? Is it it's orange? What happened? Where was I today? I didn't hear any of this. How do we get to orange? Something happened? No? Just Ashcroft? Okay. Anyway, at the press briefing today, Ari Fleischer, in the crack White House press corps, he tried to answer this. Here's how it went down. Ari, we've got this new FBI bulletin out today. Ari, warning of possible attacks here overseas. Some intelligence sources are now framing the possibility as imminent. Are we under imminent, Ari? Is it imminent state of alert? Are we in trouble? What's going on?
Well, there has been, as you accurately point out, information that has led to this status in Saudi Arabia. We have concerns about whether or not there are threats that go beyond Saudi Arabia, and discussions are underway. This is part of the daily review that takes place involving the texture, the quality, the quantity, referred to as the chatter that we hear in the system. So these matters are being looked at as we speak. We do have concerns about terrorists doing what they can to continue to inflict.
Oh, my God. Stop! Oh, my God. Didn't that sound like one of those go-to-sleep tapes? Yes. How can an imminent terrorist threat be made to sound so horrific? I've been waiting for weeks to use that word. All right, that was our flight. Anyway, we're in an elevated state. We're up to orange now. So if you're keeping track of this stuff, if you're plotting this on your home, terror alert chalkboard or whatever the hell it is, we're up to orange now. I don't know why. I guess because of all the killing going on in the Middle East. In where now? Morocco, Saudi Arabia, the occupied territories, Israel, where else? Iraq, things are just, but, you know, we won the war on terror, I guess. All right, let's move around. I'm trying to stay away from this stuff tonight, you know, this death and destruction. I'm really trying. Because I know a lot of folks are just getting just tired of it, just hearing constant death and destruction. How about this? A group of visitors from six Southeast nations were here on a tour. It's sponsored by the State Department, a visit to the United States. Guess where they wound up? They wound up in a brothel in Nevada. Now, this is a group of 10 people from Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam. What is it, one person from each country? Anyway, this group of 10 accepted an invitation from someone who turned out to be a spokesman for the brothel. A spokesman? They have spokesmen? Brothels have spokesmen. Okay. It's called the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. And they apparently, the group was in the Nevada state capital of Carson City. And, you know, they're touring around, do what tourists do. And this person came up and said, listen, would you like to come out and visit the Moonlight Bunny Ranch? Now, we can only guess what these people thought the Moonlight Bunny Ranch is. But they all said yes. Now, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch bills itself as one of Nevada's most upscale brothels and features sex workers named, for example, Air Force Amy, Caressa Kisses, and Sexy Deanna. That's according to its website that I did not visit. It's in the article here. A State Department spokeswoman, Lynn Cassell, said, during a scheduled May 14th briefing with the Assistant Administrator for Archives and Records for the Nevada State Library and Archives Department, an unscheduled guest, turns out a representative of this ranch, invited the group to visit. You know, while in the United States, these visitors are provided the opportunity to meet state and local government officials, and we can't control everything that they decide to do. End quote. So the group just, you know, they got invited to go do this. They were standing there in the Nevada State Library and Archives Department. I ask you, truth seeker, where would you rather be, right? Huh? Touring a brothel or standing there in the Nevada Library and Archives Department? Eh? I don't care what your gender is. Think about it for a second. Wouldn't you like to meet somebody named Air Force Amy? I would. The State Department spokeswoman could not offer details about what happened once the group got to the brothel. However, a second State Department official, with knowledge of the trip, that's what it says here, with knowledge of the trip, said nothing untoward had happened. So all the visitors from Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam, give me a break. These people invented sex workers, right? We're talking Thailand, the Philippines, Malaysia. Please, please, go to your dictionary, look up sex worker, open it. You'll see a picture of somebody from Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam. I'm sorry, that's just a fact. That's just the way it is. They toured one of our brothels? Oh, I'll bet they were just absolutely thrilled, right? The Nevada newspaper described the visit as an unexpected bonus for the visitors. You know, Kathy, I don't know what to do here. I'm working way too hard for a story like this. Okay, let's just get rid of this. Let's go back to death and destruction. I can't do this. All right, one more story, and then we're going to get to real stuff. Did you see the from the BBC? Chimpanzees are so closely related. This is good news for Bush, by the way. Chimpanzees are so closely related to humans that, according to geneticists, researchers, anatomists, whatever, chimpanzees should be considered as members of the human family. Huh? Now, this was done at Wayne State University, the School of Medicine in Detroit. The researchers examined key genes in humans and several ape species and found our life code to be 99.4% the same as chimps. Oh, my God. Well, it's not my God anymore. It's now the chimp's God, too, right? Think about this for the religious fundamentalists, huh? I don't care if they're, well, the Hindus, I don't know. They may go, yo, we've been telling you. But think of the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews now with this information, right? The creationist branch of those three religions. You know, the talking snake theory of creation. These people are going to freak when they read this. What? 99.4% the same as chimps? Our DNA code? Oh, my God. Oh, the scientists proposed moving common chimps and another ape that's closely related to us, the bonobo. Is that how you say it, Kathy? Bonobo? Into the genus Homo. That's the grouping researchers use to classify. But no, it's not that. It's the grouping researchers use to classify people in the animal kingdom. It's not the same kind of Homo that Rick Santorum is referring to. We're using the Latin. Homo sapiens or Homo sapiens to give the species its scientific name. That's us. We are Homo sapiens or Homo sapiens. We are the only living organism in the genus Homo at the moment. Now, there used to be Neanderthalus, Homo Neanderthalus, but they're all dead. We got rid of them. So now they want to... am I keeping anybody up tonight? All right, play some music. Let's go home. I don't know. My producer, Pizza Halame, says, don't do no more murder and death and destruction stories. No, let's just do something about whores and monkeys. And by God, these stories just popped up. All right, I'm almost finished. It says here, you could say that humans and chimps are as similar to one another as, say, horses and donkeys. Okay. All right. Thanks, Kathy. This is great. Hello? Anybody out there? Did we lose the whole damn audience? Everybody's gone now? Huh? Oh, my God. David? Oh, jeez. You know, I'm doing a story on the similarity between humans and chimps, and David calls in. Yeah, go ahead, David.
How's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's going, David.
Well, the reason I'm calling is... to give you a little bad news, I get a sense that the Republicans are going to do well this election cycle. And let me tell you why. Because no Democrat so far is really leading the pack.
And yeah, well, that's a brilliant observation. Yeah, David, that's going to do you a lot of good when the Republicans get reelected, right? Because you're doing so smashingly now. Aren't you doing well now, David?
Mike,
are you still working at the Burger King?
Mike, you know I'm a truck driver, Mike.
You're a truck driver. Okay.
That's old news.
No, Mike. I have real truck drivers who work for me. You are not a truck driver. You haul out those big cans and put them behind the Burger King. I know what
do
you do, David.
Do you want me to? Oh, I tell you what, I can prove it. You want me to blow my air horn?
I don't look. This is a family program, you know.
I haven't. The truck has an air horn. It's very.
Yeah, I'll bet. Somebody, what'd you do? Steal a truck, David?
No, you want me to give it a toot on my
air horn? Somebody give you the keys to their truck, and now you want to impress this audience. What do you want, David? I beg you not to call. What do you want? You're a right-wing freak. What do you want?
Mike, I call about every 21 days, and the reason I called to tell you was...
Now, you get a nosebleed about every 28 days, don't you? So you call me. What, you're in your PMS thing here at 21 days?
Yeah, about every 21 days. I don't want to be a nuisance.
Hey,
I want to entertain.
You better. I'd like to introduce you to somebody named Rick Santorum. Okay, quick. You got 30 seconds. Better hurry.
Okay, like I was trying to say, that I get the sense that the Republicans are going to do well and the Democrats are going to lose seats in the House and in the Senate.
Okay. Well,
and what I'm going to wait when these things come to pass. Yeah. I'm going to call you and say I told you so.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thanks, David. Drive safely. Quick break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm a monkey.
I'm a monkey. Well, we've got great hearts and great compassion about our fellow human men and women. I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How are you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're at 800 Talk Yes. If you'd like to join in tonight. We are kind of drifting tonight, so if you have something you want to bring into the program, go right ahead. I'm fascinated by this story about the chimpanzees. You know, we have a president who does not believe in evolution or natural selection. And as Gary Trudeau pointed out several weeks ago, rejecting evolution requires Bush to repudiate the core ideas of entire fields of study, everything from biochemistry, genetics, ecology, paleontology, anatomy, physics, what else? Astronomy, geology, cosmology, history, archaeology, all of it is either interlinked with or based upon the same ideas that you find in evolution, evolutionary science, or natural selection, or what have you. Now we have this discovery by scientists at Wayne State University that through the process of evolution, we and our fellow primates, the chimpanzees, have share 99.4% of the same specific DNA genetic markers, what have you, and that chimpanzees should be considered parts of the human or a part of the human family. I always got a creepy feeling when I would see those videos from Africa, especially as people tried to explain the origin of AIDS, that it was a monkey disease or an ape disease, I should say. Chimpanzees are not monkeys, but an ape disease that was transmitted to humans because the humans there would eat these great apes. And there's something weird about watching the Nature Channel and seeing humans carrying monkeys and apes out of the woods to go eat. Like, God, stop. Whew. Okay. The photo op of the day was Bush. What is this? What's the bill, Kathy? It's a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives that is going to reduce the risk of wildfires in U.S. forests by cutting down all the U.S. forests. You all know about this. Environmental groups say the proposal that's in the House right now promotes logging at the expense of environmental protection. Now, this bill would ease procedural requirements needed to remove underbrush and trees on 20 million acres of U.S. forest land. The House was expected to vote on the bill today. The Senate will debate it after it passes in the House. And Bush was out there pushing this thing. Bush introduced similar legislation last year. It was called the Healthy Forest Initiative, and that proposed cutting down as many trees as possible around the country on federal property. Federal property means property owned by you and me, or allegedly. So now the Healthy Forest Initiative. Oh my God! War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And we have, this is like the Clean Skies Initiative. What is it, Kathy? The clean air, clean health? No, not healthy skies. Clean skies, clean air, blue skies, blue air, something. I don't know. Now we have the Healthy Forest Initiative. So they were out there. Bush was trying to push this thing today. And do we have time to? No, we don't. Do we? Do we have time to play one? We don't. Okay. I've got a couple of sound bites here I want to share with you of Bush explaining his last year's Healthy Forest Initiative. And how he is hopeful that the Republican-controlled Congress, you know, Tom DeLay's House of Representatives, will pass something here that will, pay off the timber industry. We'll have that for you when we come back. All right, now we're going to take your calls. Okay, everybody's holding on now. Everybody's going, okay, let's get the show going. Come on, Malloy, take my call. We'll do it as soon as we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You got a real nice planet here, but you better watch your atmosphere, and you better clean your waters up. Have none for your cup.
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science, and not based upon science.
And you better clean your waters up.
Give me a pretty planet.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A first stab at a new contract for 19,000 workers at Goodyear tire plants across the country has failed. Negotiators for the United Steelworkers of America, which represents the workers, say the company's first offer calls for several thousand job cuts and wage and benefit concessions for those employees who survive. The current contract expired last month, and while the workers have authorized a strike, the contract is being extended day by day while negotiations continue.
Professional boxers may soon have a shot at union representation. A new division of the Teamsters Union called JAB, the Joint Association of Boxers, seeks to win an industry-wide collective bargaining agreement that would bring guaranteed health insurance and pensions to boxers. Promoters are expected to argue that fighters are independent contractors and therefore not entitled to union representation.
During the school year that just ended last month in Japan, sixth grade students were supposed to have classes on patriotism added to their social studies curriculum. But a survey of Japan's 24,000 elementary schools finds fewer than 200 actually followed the government mandate. Japan's main teachers' union slammed the patriotism initiative, saying it harkens back to a time when a heavy dose of nationalism helped the country set off a world war.
Walmart's war on workers has so far kept unions at bay in the United States, but the United Food and Commercial Workers Union is one step closer to organizing a Walmart store in Canada. This week, the Labor Relations Board of the Canadian province of British Columbia ruled that Walmart broke the law in its bid to keep a store in the city of Quesnel union-free. The Labor Board has ordered store managers to read its ruling aloud to employees, and it's also ordered the retailer to set aside a half hour of company time for union organizers to address employees on the benefits of unionization. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Can't think of anything more logical and more commonsensical than to understand our hemisphere.
That didn't make any sense, did it? All right, Bush is out there pushing. He didn't get his Healthy Forest Initiative through last year, but the Republicans in the House are working on it. So I just want to play this one little soundbite from today. Explaining his Healthy Forest Initiative at the start of the fire season. Believe it or not, the fire season is kind of coincides with raising. What's the warning up to now? We're at an orange. Is that forest fire warning or is that terrorist? That's terrorist warning. Now, in this little soundbite, I want you to hear this, and we're going to come to your phone calls. He's claiming that sound science shows that a healthy forest is a clear-cut forest, right? Sound science, this guy? A guy who rejects, I don't want to go through the list again, biochemistry, genetics, biology, paleontology, anatomy, physics, astronomy, geology, history, archaeology. He has to reject it all because George says he believes in the talking snake theory of creation. So all that stuff is gone. But here he's going to use sound science. So let's just do one little bit of George W. Bush, and then we'll get to your phone calls, which will make a hell of a lot more sense.
The Healthy Forests Initiative that I announced last summer is making American woodlands more safe,
acre by acre. Sound science shows that we can prevent such fires by managing forest with controlled fire, cleaning out the underbrush, and thinning the areas that are vulnerable to intense fires and insect attacks.
I'm going to sleep.
This is common sense.
This is my forehead.
And it is the consensus of scientists...
And elbows.
Wildlife biologists.
Kneecaps.
Forestry professionals.
Ankle bones.
And firefighters.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you very much. Doesn't he sound just inspiring when he talks about that kind of stuff, huh? Okay. All right. I'm through toying with you tonight. You've been a very patient audience. Matthew is calling from Monroe, Louisiana. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I was just looking at an article about the Matrix.
Yeah.
And your producer wants me to tie it into the Bush administration. That takes a lot of mental energy. I don't know.
Yeah. You really have to struggle for that one, don't you?
Yeah. But I saw the movie, and it was definitely a disappointment.
The Reloaded?
Yeah. It was
really?
Always terrible. I could not believe what I was seeing.
Given a choice, would you take the green capsule or the red capsule?
I would take both of them.
I'm sorry, blue or red. You'd take both of them?
I would take both of them. I'm telling you, this is disgusting. But what I was going to say, as far as turning it into the Bush administration, the only thing that comes to the mind is that, you know, the heroes of the right are so, they're just like this. I think this is a whole manifestation of the neoconservative or conservative values,
right,
you know, manifesting in how we see our heroes.
Now, are you talking about the monkey story or the Matrix?
The Matrix.
The Matrix, okay. I'm just trying to stay coherent tonight. I'm having a struggle tonight, Matthew. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's in the air. You never know. It's a clear night. It's a pretty nice night here in Monroe. But.
Yeah. So your point then again is that Bush is the Matrix.
So my point is, I don't know what Bush is. I mean, I feel sorry for him sometimes. I tell you, I mean, his stuff seems to be coming from so many different directions, and I don't
true.
Even think he knows what he's doing.
Well, let me just ask you this, Matthew. This is way out of left field, but given this report from Wayne State University today that humans and chimps and bonobos, how do you say it, Kathy? For God's sake, bonobos, another one of the ape family, that we share 99.4. Now, think about that. 99.4 of our genetic material is shared between chimps and humans. How does it make you feel tonight down there in Monroe, Louisiana?
Makes sense to me. I don't mind.
It doesn't? I mean, it doesn't,
kind of, you know.
Doesn't bother you a bit, huh?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thanks for checking in, Matthew. I hope you have a nice evening.
Okay. Thanks for your show, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Robert is calling from Manhattan. Hey, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
How do you feel about that? 99.4% of your genetic material is similar to, the same as chimpanzees.
Well, right. Actually, this has been known for a while. And the interesting thing about bonobos is that they have sex more than any of the apes. They have sex all the time. They have sex 10, 20, 30 times a day. And they have sex with family members and friends, and they just have sex all the time. They're really wild sort of monkeys.
Would you say this is kind of like the Bill Clinton of the great ape family? Or?
Well, they've evolved, so any kind of problem,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I wanted that food. No, I want that food. Oh, let's have sex.
They settle it with sex. Well, that's good. I like that. That would make a hell of a lot more peaceful world, wouldn't it?
Right, and you know,
all the way back to the 60s, make love, not war. You know, I mean, those people were onto something back then, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it really shakes up the fundamentalists.
Maybe
we should be having a lot of sex, or maybe sex for procreation isn't the only way to go.
That's very true. Very, very true. Now, that's not why you called in.
It isn't why I called.
No.
I have a question for you. And actually,
sure.
Before I get to my question, I wanted to ask you, did you notice, I'm sure you have, that George Bush says nuclear?
Oh, sure.
He doesn't say nuclear. He says nuclear. Do you think he does that on purpose?
No. It's because he is a dumbass.
Okay, fine. I certainly couldn't argue with that, but I thought maybe someone at this point had said, you know, Mr. President, it's not.
No,
it
doesn't make any difference. George Bush does to language what my Italian grandmother used to do to a bowl of pasta. It's not pretty. There's no point even talking about it. You know that he says nuclear. Everybody knows he says nuclear. That's not exactly a newsflash, Robert. He says peninsula. He says all kinds of things that are just totally, I mean, they're made up words. They're not real words. He just makes this stuff up, you know,
right.
And then the editorial writers who cover this stuff for the newspaper newspapers cleaned it up. They even cleaned it up on the whitehouse.gov or whatever the hell it is website. You know, you want to hear something? Listen to this. Listen to this, Robert. Hold on. Listen to this. Go ahead. Play it.
I view our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent, as a way to say to people that would harm America that don't do it.
As a way to say to people who would harm America, don't do it, or I'll blow your ass up. One more, Robert.
I view our nuclear arsenal.
Oh, you just played that. Yeah, Kathy's been into the cooking sherry tonight. Do you have another one? Okay, well, in the meantime, Robert, where were we?
Well, this thing with Bush and him being a bit of an idiot sort of leads to my next question.
Okay.
Which is, you know, I was on the air with you last week after I read about Jan Salon, and I was complaining about Hillary Clinton.
Right, right.
And it felt really good to dump about her. But after I got off the phone, I started thinking, and I was thinking, you know what? By next November, Hillary Clinton is going to look really good compared to George W. Bush. Which leads me to my real question, which is, are not any of the Democratic candidates, with the possible exception of Al Sharpton, far superior to George Bush?
Absolutely. They all, on what level? Intellect? Sure.
No, I mean as far as governing.
An understanding that they're really alive and not living in a dream world? Yes. Most of them are way beyond Bush. As far as I know, all of the Democratic candidates, from Dennis Kucinich to Carol Moseley Braun, they've had jobs before. George Bush has never had a job. Some of them have been in the military. George was not really in the military. They have family values. George Bush doesn't have any family values. I mean, they understand, they can put together a coherent, multi-part sentence. They understand government, that there are three branches and that they're supposed to be not checks and balance. They're supposed to be slightly antagonistic to each one to the other two. All these candidates understand that. George doesn't understand this. So what I'm not sure I understand, Robert, that...
Well, you know what it is? I've been on your message board all day because I had a lot of time on my hands today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've been arguing with some of your most stalwart supporters who happen to be Green supporters.
Right.
And they're saying they're not going to vote for anyone unless it's Dennis Kucinich. They won't vote for any Democrat unless it's Kucinich. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I would like it to be Kucinich, too. I would like someone who agrees with me 100% and is really far to the left like I am.
Right.
But most of our country isn't there. And so by not voting for whoever the Democratic nominee is this time, even if a lot of their positions are abhorrent to you, you are helping to elect George W. Bush.
Well, let me, this is an ongoing underlying theme of this program, this endless discussion about do you vote for somebody with a D after their name just to defeat Bush, or do you wait for a real Democrat? I don't think Dennis Kucinich is way far left. Dennis Kucinich is just what used to be a mainstream Cleveland, Ohio, working class, for Christ's sake, a Democrat. I mean, come on, Dennis Kucinich is there's not a Democrat out there that is a leftist. Please, most of them are just a butt cheek to butt cheek with the Republicans. So Dennis happens to be, and to a lesser extent, I think Howard Dean happens to be real Democrats. Now Dennis is a Midwestern working class Catholic, family values, go to work, get a job, go to school, pay your union dues. Try to save a little money, buy a house, Democrat. That's all he is. So when you say, well, Dennis this, Dennis that, he's a leftist. No, he's not a leftist.
Okay, you know, I stand corrected, Mike. You know, the reason I assumed he was way left was because all the Green people are saying he's the only one I'll vote for.
Well, and that's because there's a lot of people who have decided that if they're going to vote again for a Democrat, they will, in fact, vote for a Democrat. You can't fault people for saying that.
I don't fault them for saying it.
I'm sorry. One can't fault someone for voting Democrat. And if the only Democrat is not Lieberman, is not Kerry, is not Edwards, but the only real Democrat happens to be this little dude from Cleveland named Dennis Kucinich, and these voters want to vote for a Democrat, hello, they don't have a choice.
Okay, and I accept that, if that's how you feel. And that's the point
I think these people on my website are making.
Right. But they're
trying not to. Here's what's going on. Let me just tell you, Robert. A lot of mainstream Democrats are trying not to bolt the party like they did last presidential election and vote green, because the only candidate making the Democratic Party's case last time happened to be Ralph Nader. There was the Democratic, Al Gore was not making the Democratic Party's core values as part of his core values. He was making the Democratic leadership, the DLC's values, his values.
Okay, and you know what? I have no trouble accepting your position, Mike, and I agree that may be the case. But here's my point. Even if Al Gore is not a real Democrat or whatever adjective
I understand,
you use,
Al Gore would not have put us all this money in debt, would not have started a war in Iraq, would not have. I understand
and
that.
We can go on for 15 minutes.
Right.
Things he would not have
absolutely.
Done.
So it comes.
So don't you think in retrospect it was a mistake?
It comes to the point. Well, the Green Party didn't cost Al Gore anything. It comes to the point in this next election. Everybody has got to make their own decision, and this sounds elemental, and it is, and I don't mean to sound so damn condescending here, but people have got to make a decision. Am I going to vote Republican? Well, no. Am I going to vote Democrat? Well, yes. Okay, where's the Democratic candidate? Well, there isn't one. There's a candidate there with a D after his name who's been pre-selected by corporate America or by the Democratic Leadership Council, you know, somebody pre-selected. So what do you got? You got George Bush and John Kerry. You got George Bush and Joe Lieberman. But you don't have George Bush and Dennis Kucinich come the election November 2004. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? A lot of Democrats say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to do it again. Now, to those Democrats, I say, bless you for your conscience. Be prepared to take responsibility for your action, just like I'll be prepared to take responsibility for my action. And I think that's what these people are saying, Robert. Some people have reached the point where they cannot compromise their Democratic Party values any longer. Now, you got to respect them for that. And if you want to hold them responsible for George Bush's reelection, you can do that, too.
Right.
I tend to stay away from that argument, though, because it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere.
I'm sorry, you stay away from which argument?
The argument about if it's not a real Democrat, don't vote. Or if it's not a real Democrat, vote for the person with the D after his name. I'm not going to get into that discussion again. You know, I don't mean you're trying to bring it up. I just mean in my own circle, or when I go on the board, or when I talk to people, I've already pretty much stated my case, and I just did again. People have got to make their own decision here. I'm going to do my best, based on what I know so far, to push the candidacy of Dennis Kucinich. Kathy's still trying to nail down an appearance on this program. That'll be an extended appearance and where we can chat. If things change, then I'll change. But I will. I've made this statement before. I will not vote for another Republican light. I can't do it. So I'm just going to stay out of the way and let other people slug it out if it comes down to that. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, Mike. But I think when you get out of the way, you let George Bush step in.
Well,
and I think that's where I need you guys to take responsibility.
Well, I understand that, and that's a strong argument. I do understand that.
We have a little bit of time to talk about this. I hope at least you're open to the possibility of maybe helping to defeat George Bush if Kucinich isn't the candidate.
Well, that'll bring up some other tactic. You're absolutely right. Something.
Well, I appreciate your time, Mike.
All right, Robert.
Okay, have a good one.
Thanks for checking in. Appreciate you calling. Hey, boy, that topic just won't go away. Well, yeah, it's a riddle inside of a thing inside of an enigma. How does that go? A riddle, a conundrum, a condom, a mystery. I don't know. It's a Chinese cone. How do you say a Japanese cone? Dennis O'Hare is here. Dennis, what is that word? K-O-A-N. Is that koan?
What?
Cone, the Japanese, the I'm getting way off. I don't know. Dennis.
Oh, I lost.
All right. Well, what is the enigma wrapped in a secret?
Oh, a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
I see. That's it.
That was Churchill.
Is that Churchill?
Yeah.
Oh, the same guy that said an iron curtain is descending. Okay. All right. Listen, we have a quick break coming up here, and then we shall come back and continue the conversation. I'm not real sure what we're talking about tonight, but We do have two open lines, so if you feel like jumping in here and joining us tonight and saving a part of the evening, please do so. 800-TALK-YES.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
I need
on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this
Sunday.
Yeah! Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Where were we? We were here. Scott is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona, our bureau chief there. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
Random threads, I guess.
Yeah, random threads are all over the studio.
Hey, on the monkey issue, I was just wondering what would happen if you put enough monkeys in a voting booth. What would you get?
George Bush.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that wasn't what I called about, though. It was completely off topic, but might be interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with a trade show that just happened last week, the Entertainment and Electronics Expo.
I am not.
Well, I was watching something about that, and a little news item came across, and, you know, these things that you see that you just think are so incredulous that they couldn't be possible.
Couldn't be true, right.
And then you find out they are. And,
yeah.
And the thing that I was just appalled by, and I think it's actually been out a little bit, is the U.S. government, specifically the Department of the Army, has produced a video game.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, it's called America's Army. I think it's been out a little while, but they're really promoting it right now.
Right.
And let's just give you a couple of data points here. They've got a press release here that says, the U.S. Army has reached two great milestones with the America's Army game. They have just reported that 1 million players have gone through virtual basic training in the America's Army.
Oh, good.
In addition, since its public release on July 4th, 2002, so it has been out a little bit,
uh-huh.
Gamers have played more than 100 million missions.
Uh-huh.
Big hoo-ah to all of America's Army players who are making America's Army such a great success.
Well, this is, you know, the theory is eventually it'll get down to this. It'll be virtual war, which would probably be a good thing. No more... death on the road to Damascus or anything, or death on the road to Baghdad or wherever. Just virtual war, and the people who lose. I mean, you lose. You got to play fair. And we are going to have the best trained army on the planet because we'll have all these people who have done the gaming.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe all the coverage of the Iraq War was just kind of a promo for the video game.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So this was at the video game and
the
war
Entertainment and Electronics Expo.
Entertainment, Electronics, War, Death, and Let's Have Fun Expo. That sounds like, yeah, that's
great. They had some kind of a challenge, too. They have,
yeah.
They've teamed with this organization called Ultimate Arena,
mm-hmm.
to hold a tournament. The final match between a team of 4 civilians and 4 active-duty U.S. Army soldiers will take place. Or has taken place. It was last week. Qualifying tournament matches will take place online. Championship match. First 500 people to sign up will receive a special Army America's
right.
Army Ultimate Arena E3 tournament T-shirt.
Thank you, Scott. Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Warby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Warby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Elite members of Algeria's Special Intervention Forces have reportedly arrived deep in the Sahara Desert to begin overseeing efforts to free 15 kidnapped European tourists. At least two daily newspapers in the region are reporting that a conditional green light has been given to prepare to launch an all-out assault designed to secure the release of the adventure seekers. The group of 10 Germans, 4 Swiss, and 1 Dutchman disappeared months ago along with 17 other vacationers while traveling in a lawless area known for its ancient tourist attractions. It took more than 100 special forces to finally free the first group of 17 during a desert rescue operation said to have resulted in the deaths of one Algerian soldier and 7 rebel hostage takers. The rebels are believed to be part of the Islamic militant Salafist group for preaching in combat. British troops have shot a suspected looter in Iraq near Basra. Military police Sergeant Graham Smith says they responded to crowds in a marketplace in Hayania, shouting Ali Baba, Ali Baba. After a short pursuit, the looter aimed a rocket-propelled grenade launcher at them.
We saw this man and another with heads wrapped in scarves running along here, one with RPG, one with Kalashnikov. We fired a warning shot into the wall, 1, 2, 3, and then he turned. As he turned with the RPG, my driver shot him.
The injured looter was taken to a hospital by ambulance. A joint Iraqi coalition patrol has been established in Iraq to stop looting and restore law and order. However, the poor southern Iraqi community of Hayania is still being affected. Troops are training local police forces, hoping to increase the number of police on the streets.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Macy's is being sued by an African-American legal secretary who claims the department store targets minorities as potential shoplifters. The antitrust lawsuit filed in Manhattan seeks $100 million in damages. It also requests class action status on behalf of non-white shoppers who believe Macy's and its parent company discriminated against them. Officials at Macy's will not comment on the lawsuit, saying they haven't seen the filing. It turns out an oil spill in waters off Cape Cod was much larger than originally thought. Boucher Transportation now says its barge leaked some 98,000 gallons of oil into Buzzards Bay, nearly 7 times more than was originally reported. Coast Guard Lieutenant Dean Jones doesn't think Boucher was trying to mislead anyone.
No, we don't have any reason to believe that now. But we will look into an investigation to find out exactly what did happen.
Jones says the Coast Guard response would have been the same regardless of the amount of oil believed to be in the water. Cleanup efforts continue, and Buzzard Bay remains closed to shell fishermen who make their living there.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Travis County, Texas commissioners have called for the state to halt all executions. Travis County Judge Sam Bisco is one of those calling for a moratorium until the fairness of the Texas capital punishment law can be determined. Bisco says the moratorium simply asks the state legislature to delay executions for a period of time during which we would have a capital punishment commission in place to study the manner in which we administer the death penalty here in Texas. Bisco also says it seemed to me that if we take 18 to 24 months to put in place a blue ribbon committee to study the matter and to come back with some recommendations, it would make all the sense in the world. Stocks rallied during the last hour of trading, and the major market averages managed to finish with minor losses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 2 points to 84.91. The NASDAQ recovered from steep losses and finished down a point to 14.91. The S&P 500 lost a point and ended at 9.19. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. in his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power Spark Plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheeled vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes, if you'd like to join us. All right, one more quote here from Bush today, and then we shall return to your calls. But I want you to hear this. He's pushing the Healthy Forest Initiative bill. Again, the absolute hypocrisy. It's beyond hypocrisy. It's just destruction of language. This is no more a healthy forest initiative than the clean sky blue air was about clean sky blue air. But whatever. We've come to expect that, haven't we? Is there anybody left in the country? Is there anybody who believes that anything that comes from the Bush administration that talks about clean air really is about clean air? I don't think so. That anything about healthy forests is really about healthy forests? I don't think so. So anyway, here's Bush. I want you to listen how he tries to give the impression that he cares about the Mexican spotted owl. He cares about the Mexican. Now, what he's really doing here is pushing for payback to his supporters in the logging industry, in the paper industry, in the chemical industry, in the mining industry. You know, with all those damn trees in the way, you can't get to you just can't get to those natural resources that God put out there for capitalists to exploit. You know what I'm saying? So listen to him talk about the Mexican spotted owl and giant sequoias and stuff. It takes him a second to get to it, but he gets there.
Wildfires and unnaturally overgrown forests burn hotter and spread faster than normal fires.
Oh.
And their effects on the environment can be devastating. The fires sterilize soils and trigger soil erosion. They decimate our forests, killing even giant sequoias that have survived centuries of smaller fires.
Oh, yeah.
They destroy the habitats of endangered species.
I'm going to sleep.
Last year, the fire in Hayman, Colorado, damaged the habitat of several species, for example, including the Mexican spotted owl.
Doesn't he sound just like he is just so interested in what he's talking about, doesn't he? The fire sterilized soils and trigger soil erosion. They decimate our forests, killing even giant sequoias that have survived centuries of smaller fires. God, the man just inspires me, doesn't he? You know what he inspires me to do? He inspires me to vote Democratic. That's what he inspires me to do. What a moron. What a jackass. Oh, well, never mind. Mark's calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. That last segment, I just had an idea for a new business. Why don't we get together and put together some tapes of Bush talking and sell them as sleep aids?
Boy, when he's not talking about war and killing and death and landing on an aircraft carrier, when he's talking about things like spotted owls and sequoias, man, the man just and jobs and stuff like that, he just puts you to sleep, doesn't he?
He does.
He can't get into it. It's impossible for him to get into it. He's got to be talking about that jock, I got to overcome my daddy, I never served in Vietnam because I was a coward thing.
Well, he strikes me as one of the most passionless men that I've ever seen in the public stage.
It very true, very true. There's just absolutely no fire whatsoever. Again, unless he's talking about, war. And he's not really talking about war when he's talking about war. What he's talking about is clearing the way so he can get to the oil or his friends can get the oil.
So he can make money, exactly.
Yeah, it's not even the passion that comes from the warrior mind of conquest and war and dominance. It's not even that. It's just, let's go kill some people, get the, topple some statues and bring democracy because we got to get to the oil.
Well, I'd say it's a passion of exploitation.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. I'll take that.
A couple quick comments. I called really just to say it was good to hear your voice. I missed you on Thursday and Friday. I was listening to Tom Hartman this morning, and Tom had on a guest, Chuck Morris, Republican hack.
Uh-huh.
And Chuck just couldn't keep from bashing Bill Clinton every chance he got. Oh. And I called up, and I just lit into him one side and down the other because I just couldn't contain myself anymore. I'm just so tired of everything's Clinton's fault.
What was he talking about Clinton? It's 2003. What was he talking about Clinton?
Well, the issue came up about Bush and his service record.
Yeah.
So Morris couldn't help but bring up the fact that Clinton got a deferment to go to, I guess it was Oxford.
Yeah, like about 2 million other white men did back in the Vietnam era.
Well, my point has always been that Bill Clinton, I think one of the reasons that he irritates Republicans so bad is that he is an incredibly intelligent man,
right,
and very accomplished. And I actually think they resent him for that.
I think you're right. Also, who does Tommy Franks and the rest of these people, who I believe was appointed by Clinton, who does Tommy Franks and the rest of the military brass, what military did they think they're fighting all these wars with? This was the Clinton military, right?
You got it.
I mean, this is a military, like him, love him, hate him, be indifferent to him, call him a Democrat or a Republicrat or whatever you want to call Clinton. He handed off to George W. Bush and these psychopaths, the most powerful military ever put together by human beings. And these are the guys, remember, Bush and Cheney, who said that Clinton had decimated the military and help was on the way. And once they got control, they would turn things around. And the American public, of course, just sits back on its lumpen proletariat stupid ass and goes, yeah, that's right. Well, Clinton did do that. Yep, he did decimate the military. I know he did. Yep. And turns out that these guys are ready to conquer the entire damn world with Clinton's military. So isn't that, and that's another reason they hate him.
It was interesting, the conversation this morning also centered around foreign policy. And I lent into Morris again. I said, look, my biggest problem with George W. Bush on foreign policy is the man has no imagination. His answer to everything is bomb, 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 bomb,
right,
bomb.
Right. He has no curiosity.
Yeah, exactly.
No curiosity, no imagination, and can't handle a compound sentence. So how in the hell is he supposed to handle the reality of global conflict, whether it's military or social or religious? It's just beyond George W. Bush's ability, and I don't know. We are going to suffer for that. We are suffering for it.
We are suffering. There's no doubt about it. Anyway, it's good to have you back, Mike.
Thank you, Mark.
Take
I appreciate
care.
You checking in, sir. Thank you. Thank you for calling. One more from Bush, and then back to your phone calls. You know, in every one of these little photo ops that he gets involved in, Bush, he has his little little human story, little personal story. Well, today, guess who was in the barrel? Somebody named Ron and his family. Ron, his wife, and their two sons. Yep, Ron and his family. Now, George is going to tell you about it. Ron and his family, they saved their forest, I guess I had one, by following George W. Bush's plan. And in the process, Ron made $15,000 on his 40 acres. Now, how about that? Huh? How about that? Ron, this is like those TV shows where they say, you know, send in your prayer offering and we'll send you back a prayer cloth or beads or something. Just send in your prayer offering and put your hand on the television. And that's what this sounds like. Ron and his family followed my plan. And in their forest, they made $15,000. They did. So here is the personal story from the Healthy Forests Initiative and George W. Bush today.
Ron, his wife, and their two sons spent an entire winter cleaning out the diseased and lower quality trees that were crowding out the taller trees in his 40-acre forest. When he was finished, the forest was healthier.
Yeah.
The bugs were gone.
The bugs were gone.
And he had made about $15,000 from the sale of the undergrowth that he cleared away.
Hey, but, you know, as soon as Bush said $15,000, did you hear him come alive? And he made about $15,000 from the sale of the undergrowth that he cleared away. So the bugs were gone. How about that? The bugs were gone. This guy clears his 40-acre forest of some underbrush and made $15,000, and the bugs were gone. Now, see, if George W. Bush had the sense God gave Pinocchio, George would understand that, no, George, the bugs are not gone. The bugs are not gone. The bugs just moved. They're just not living in the dead brush now. They're living in the live brush. That's the nature of bugs, George. There's always dead underbrush in the forest, George, and there's always bugs. George thinks the bugs are gone. But the important part of the story is that Ron and his wife and his two sons made $15,000. Imagine how much Bush's logging buddies could earn at that rate, huh? Okay, last one. I've just got to do this. Here's the last one. Now, this is the one where Bush says we need to get the politics out of this, right? There's no politics in healthy forests, is there? No, not a bit. Yeah, we need to get the... George, if you really want to get the politics out of it, then what you would do is turn the management of forests over to environmentalists who would really manage the forests. But I love this. We need to focus on what's best for the forest. You know, chainsaws.
We need to get the politics out of this.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on what's best for America is what we need to do.
We do.
We need to bring people together for the sake of our forests.
Yes, hallelujah.
Our forests are a treasure.
A treasure.
And we are their stewards.
And the women are stewardesses.
We must preserve them.
We must.
We must fulfill our promise to the next generation.
Hallelujah.
That's what we must do.
That's what we'll do.
And leave behind a world as blessed.
Yeah.
And as beautiful.
And tree-free.
As the one our parents left us.
Yeah, amen. Okay, well, thanks, George. I'm just impressed as hell. Okay, that was George Bush today at his... he's pushing the... whatever the Healthy Forest Initiative has now become. It's being pushed in the House by Tom DeLay, the bug man, the guy who has breathed in way too much parathion and now sees bugs any place he looks. Bugs all over the place. Bugs on the walls, bugs on his drinking glass, bugs in his jockstrap, bugs. So it's called Healthy Forest Initiative. and it's nothing more than a sham and a joke that plays off the fears of the American public about forest fires. But that's what we're about. We live on fear. We suck up fear. We devour fear. Fear is our middle name. Will is calling from Atlanta. Will, I have just enough time to say welcome to the program. I'm going to put you on hold and come back and take your call in a second, okay? All right, sir. Quick break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball. We did not believe in the writing on the wall. We did our best work in the dark. We did our thinking on the run. We would hang together, or they'd hang us one by one. Gone like footprints, whisper on the wind. A lover was a comrade, was a stranger.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What a wonderland world it is in Washington. Wrong can be right, down can be up, a lie can be truth, all because the president says it's so. Our present president seems to love to lie. Not because George W. likes doing wrong, but because lies simplify his life, turning his confusion into clarity. I think he even believes his lies when he speaks them. And when he gets caught lying, hey, that's in the past. It's just a technicality. And besides, it depends on how you define truth. Well, how about the big truth of WMDs? Where are those weapons of mass destruction that George W. so absolutely insisted Saddam Hussein had targeted at the U.S., posing the imminent threat that was his moral excuse for invading Iraq? It's a scream to watch the Bushites now try to squirm out of the inconvenient reality that they found no masses of WMDs in Iraq. Lately, they tried to claim every slingshot, trailer, empty casing, and barbecue pit that they come across as proof of Saddam's WMD program. But when launching his Iraq attack, George didn't talk about such small stuff. He spoke specifically about a mushroom cloud that Saddam would ignite in America. The Bushites also flatly asserted that Saddam had 500 tons of mustard gas, 25,000 liters of anthrax, 30,000 rockets to deliver chemical weapons, dozens of Scud missiles, 18 biological warfare factories, all sorts of long-range missiles and other WMDs that now can't be found. First, they claimed that Saddam hid them, then that he took them with him. How? In his backpack? But now the Bushites say it doesn't matter. We kicked Saddam's butt, and that's all anyone needs to know. Doesn't matter? The president blatantly lied to we the people, and it's okay? What moral message are the Bushites sending to America's children and the people of the world? This is Jim Hightower saying, lies don't make truth, even if a president says they do.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. And Will is called in from right here in the Atlanta area. Will, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, it is. Since rediscovering your manifestation in this medium.
Ooh.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You used to listen on WSB, maybe?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
And, of course, you were the best thing they had to offer.
Oh, wait a minute. I know who you are. We've met.
Yeah, many years ago.
Yeah, we've met. Well, one of the more radical minds in Atlanta, if I remember you right, Will.
Well, you sound none the worse for wear.
Never mind.
Well, you got a nice website, and this is a terrific outlet. I think it's fantastic.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you found it, and I hope you're going to participate in that website. What he's talking about is MikeMalloy.com, MikeMalloy.net. Go, register, jump in the fray. There's all kinds of weirdness going on over there. So.
I've already seen some fantastic posts on your message board.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Did you get those digital copies of the FBI documents that suggest that Bush Sr. was in on the Kennedy hit? I emailed to you today.
You emailed them?
Yeah.
If you sent them to the AOL account, I haven't opened that yet.
All right, yeah, that's where I sent them.
Yeah.
Anyway, you'll see them.
Okay.
But the point is, I mean, it's nice to kind of come up with an idea about speaking truth to power, but if we're just about keeping the ball in the park, like Perot was doing, I think we're really not serving America, and what we need to do is get right down to the truth of it, and the only reason I can figure for having this buffoon, moron, is appointed as president by this cabal, this unconstitutional violation of the dictate of the Constitution that disputed elections, disputed federal elections shall
right.
be resolved by the Congress,
right.
Is that, in fact, it is a crime family, literally, not some metaphor. And
no, I've never meant it metaphorically. These people are this is a crime family in the same way that the Genovese family was a crime family, in the same way that the Mussolini family was a crime family. This is a real crime family, yes.
Well, but if the Democrats really want to show that there is a loyal opposition, checks and balances, they will develop the truth established by the jury in the Hunt versus Liberty Lobby case down the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida back in 85. Mark Lane developed it in plausible denial, gave the court record and the findings of the jury foreman that she and forewoman Leslie Armstrong, as she came out of the trial court speaking to the journalists.
Yeah.
She said that they would not award any damages to E. Howard Hunt, CIA officer, for defamation of character, because it was clear that the CIA and he had, in fact, assassinated the president. This is page 322 of Plausible Denial, Thunder's Mouth Press, Mark Lane. And with that knowledge and the email digital copies that I sent you.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Well, we know, if I can just say,
yeah.
If we know that Bush Sr. was in the CIA, and that's from Hoover's desk a week after the assassination, and from his own voice to Special Agent Graham W. Kitchell in the Houston FBI office.
Yeah.
An hour and a half after the assassination, he phoned in a tip from his home 100 miles from Dallas, 90 minutes after the assassination. So we know he was in the area. We know he was in the CIA. And we know his father was Hitler's banker. So this
right.
is, in fact, a crime family that is so obvious. That would be an issue that would actually awaken the American people that are allowing themselves to fall under a tyranny.
Well, I hear you loud and clear, Will. It's just, as is so often the case with the Bush crime family, it's getting the information out and people believing it. Hey, listen, Will, thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you call again.
Thanks for being there.
All right, sir. Take care. Quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
We can win a million.
strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
People are trying to stop the spread of insects and disease without stopping international trade. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Wooden pallets are used in shipping to move freight around the world. These wooden platforms are important for trade, but they often carry more than their intended cargo. Beetles, worms, fungus, and bacteria are just some of the organisms that ride around on pallets. In one case, researchers examined a single pallet and discovered nearly 30 different kinds of insects. Carrie Britton is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She says the wood that's used for pallets often comes from trees that already had been weakened by insects or disease.
There's probably billions of pallets that move around each year with very inferior wood. And sometimes the reason those trees died too young to become anything but a pallet is because they had insects or diseases.
Imported diseases and pests have caused serious economic and environmental damage around the world. Britton says people are looking for ways to fight this problem.
The regulatory community all over the world realize that this is a major problem, and they're working on trying to develop regulations and ways of requiring that the wood be treated either with heat or fumigants like methyl bromide.
Britton says modern transportation helps foreign organisms survive the trip between continents.
They can travel across the ocean. We have such rapid transit now that they arrive still alive, and they just crawl out and look for a new home.
Pallets are not the only problem. Invasive species sometimes travel in wood chips and other wood that's used for packing material. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800 talk yes is the number. What we're doing tonight is just kind of listening to what folks calling in have to say. Okay. We had all sorts of death and destruction lined up for you again tonight, but I just kind of ran out of steam on that topic. You know, there's some real ugly stuff going on, but I think we're covering it okay by you folks determining which direction we're going tonight. I think that's good. Kevin is calling from Middletown, Connecticut. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
It sure is, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome aboard.
Great show so far. I actually was listening to you off AM 1150 out here. Yeah, I guess I actually appreciate your show. I'll call you a liberal, a real liberal talk radio guy. So many right wing ones out here.
Yeah, that's very true.
and I will identify myself as a Republican. And going back to, I guess, where you started the show regarding the Democratic candidates.
Uh-huh.
I mean, being a Republican and seeing the wide sweeping success of taking over the House and Senate with the last election, I actually have a fear. I have a fear that the Democrats are not going to be able to get it together locally or nationally. And I actually think the result is going to be the Republican Party, my party, could become dumb again. What I mean by that is, you know, we're not going to have competition to keep us healthy. And I think we do need to have
a solid
debate.
When you say dumb again, I remember, I'm not sure what you mean, because I remember when the Republican Party was not a dumb party. It was a party I didn't agree with, but
it had a lot of great successes.
But it's dumb now. It's worse than dumb. It's been taken over by the religious right. That's the core of the Republican Party, our Protestant evangelical fundamentalists on the one hand. On the other hand, you have there is no other hand. Your party is owned by religious fundamentalists. I'm sorry?
Can you give me an example of this takeover?
Tom DeLay? That's a good place to start, right?
Okay, well, you know, a bunch of local voters voted him in. I mean, where's the takeover part?
Well,
you and I can't change the South. Or
you can't. Okay, how about Henry Hyde?
Texas, you know?
All right, how about Henry Hyde? That's Illinois. Where else do you want to go? How about Ohio? Mike DeWine. Where else do you want to go?
That's Republicans in Ohio.
What about Pennsylvania? Rick Santorum.
Republicans are Republicans.
No, wait. What about Pennsylvania? Rick Santorum. Okay, now where else do you want to go?
Now,
the point I'm trying to make, Kevin, it is not local elections that have determined who these people are. It is the Republican Party is the party of religious bigots. It is the party of fundamentalist Protestant Christians who are hell-bent on bringing about Armageddon so they can all rise up in the rapture and go hang out with Jesus. Of course, they got it all wrong, but...
Can I comment on that, if I might?
Sure.
I mean, I'm involved locally with the Republicans, and, you know, it's a town party. And we deal with town issues, and I've yet to run into anybody who's racist or religious bigot or, you know, wanting to do anybody in. If anything, there's some good-hearted people trying to get it done. Sure, some of them have their hot issues.
Well, then what makes them Republican?
I think they have a common conservative belief system, especially at a town level, which has to do with conservative policy fiscally. That's their driver. That's our driver locally.
Well, then you're not a Republican. Then your group is not Republican. If you are only fiscally conservative on a local basis in your hometown, you are not a Republican.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the alternative is the Democratic Party in our town of Newtown, Connecticut.
Yeah.
And, you know, we actually work together. I'm not going to criticize them. You know, we all end up where we end up for particular reasons. I'm not going to say it's got to do with religion in Connecticut. I think it's the last qualifier for a Republican in Connecticut is a religious standpoint. You know, I'm 32, and yeah, there are a bunch of right-to-lifers who are I don't know. I'll use the term running the party. I personally don't want to get into this one with you because it's a one-way street, I suspect, on your program. But make a long story short, you know, the main message I wanted to make was, you know, the Democratic Party or any third party that can stand up and get it done, the Republicans are going to need a competitor in order to keep us healthy going forward. And I think, obviously, the voters are going to be the ones who are going to, decide in the end which party is going to run this place.
Kevin, let me interject. The voters decided back in 2000 that they wanted Al Gore to run this place. And because of the criminality of the National Republican Party, which is owned by religious bigots, and the criminality of five members of the Supreme Court, and the criminality of the governor of the state of Florida, and the criminality of the governor of the state of Texas, the will of the people was thwarted. Now, I don't mean to interrupt you or come over the top of you like this, but what you are talking about is not Republicanism. You are talking about populism on a distinctly Connecticut level. You know, fiscal local conservatism, fiscal conservative, which the National Republicans are not into. That's the reason that Bush is bankrupting the country and establishing enough national debt to handle your great-great-great-great-grandchildren's purse strings. As far as these social issues of gay rights or abortion or gun rights or freedom of speech or whatever, I would think that the people of Middleton, Connecticut, are so far removed from the National Republicans to render you folks as something other than Republican. But as I listen to you, I think, well, you know, you're talking about something that doesn't exist. You're talking about a Republican Party on a national level. It may exist there in Middleton, Connecticut, but it damn sure does not exist in the centers of power in this country, nor does it exist in the minds of the Republican Party leadership. So I'm kind of at a loss trying to figure out what kind of Republicanism you're talking about, unless you have fallen through a time-space continuum and you're really from 1953. That could be.
Hey, here's a comment about national debt. I'll give you an open-ended question. Maybe you want to take me out on that one. But Social Security system, how is it that when the baby boomers finally retire, us little X generation people running around trying to make a living are ever going to be able to pay the bill that's been promised?
It's very simple. It's very simple. First of all, don't put the country like Bush has after Clinton. After Clinton got us out of debt, Bush slams us back into debt. Don't have the country in debt. First of all, deficit spend is what I mean to say. Don't deficit spend. Do what Clinton did. Keep the ink black. That's A. B, start paying down the national debt, because that means C, we won't be spending 4, 5, 6% of our gross domestic product for debt service. And then D, you little Gen X people will have your Social Security.
I mean, I'll tell you my policy is I don't want Social Security, and if I could opt out now, I would. But here's a comment I want to make.
Do you know what Social Security is? Do you know what Social Security? What is it? How would you define it?
It's a safety net. No.
That's very wrong. I can tell that the Republicans in Middleton, Connecticut, have started to turn your brain to water. What Social Security is nothing more or less than an insurance policy. It's not a retirement plan. It's not an investment plan. It's an insurance policy. It's kind of like an annuity paid out on a monthly basis. That's all it is. It's not designed to lift people out of poverty. So why you say you'd get out of it? All it is insurance.
I'll tell you why, because I would opt out in order for us to be able to change this program and cancel it. Now, here's the comment I want to make. The way we're going to pay for this thing, and this is the big crime of all politicians in this country, and this is a crime against all nations, the way we're going to pay for our seniors and with the Social Security obligation that's in front of us is going to be by, listen to me, printing money. We're going to devalue U.S. currency in the next decade in order to pay this bill. And what's that going to do?
Well, that's been going on for 40 years. What, have you made a great discovery all of a sudden that the government prints money whenever it damn well pleases? Come on.
You get $100 in the bank now, it's going to be worth $50 when they're done.
Okay, and the $100 that I had 5 years ago was only worth $50 compared to what it was in 1963. Okay. What's your point?
So you're even.
So what's
100 years of money sitting in the banks worth the same amount.
But what's the point?
What kind of return is that?
But what's the point? I mean, why do you bring that up?
It's broke, and it's got to be fixed. That's the point. And although it may be as simple as a social, you can call it an insurance policy, you can call it whatever you want, it's still being paid with taxpayer dollars. And until we wise up and realize it's a completely flawed system, and we're still funding it, and Democrats are the first people to support this thing till their dying days.
Yeah.
We got some serious problems in this country.
Kevin, are you aware what Social Security does, since it is an insurance policy? It takes care of folks who are disabled. It takes care of people who have lost their parents or one parent. It takes care of people who, through no fault of their own, can't earn a living. Excuse me?
No, I support that. Our society should, too. And I am wholeheartedly, and I mean honestly, that, you know, we do need to have a safety net, like I was saying before.
Well, what would you call it if you didn't call it Social Security, the safety net?
I would call an adult who's you know, worked or has had a spouse work for 40 years of a career. An adult ought to be able to manage their own affairs.
No. I said, what would you call this safety net?
Safety net. Yeah. I mean, whatever, you know, you can pick any name you want.
Okay. Tomatoes. Would you call it tomatoes?
The tea policy, the tomato policy, which will replace the SSI policy, that policy absolutely needs to exist in order to protect the weakest people like children and infirmed and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, to cost us, what is it, 10% of our paycheck? 10% of our paycheck goes to support these taxes. Medicare, Medicaid, national, state, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The money goes to the feds, it comes back to the state, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, let's get rid of all the taxes. Listen, Kevin, I have to move on. I'm glad you called. I hope you call again. Thank you very much for finding the program. Do call in again. Let's cut all the taxes. Let's just stop collecting taxes. Yeah, that's a libertarian / conservative point of view. Stop with the taxes already. Just stop. Everything stops. And let us see how quickly conservatives or libertarians, I'm talking about right-wing libertarians, start wetting their pants over all of a sudden all these services that they have been sucking on for not just in their lifetime, but their parents' lifetime, the grandparents' lifetime, and possibly the great-grandparents' lifetime. All of these social services, all of these things that make a society coherent, all of these things that help a society advance, disappear. Gone. Would the libertarians be happy then? Would the conservatives be happy then? Let's just stop collecting taxes, stop spending money, let the whole damn place collapse. Would that make you happy, whoever you are? You don't like your tax structure? Get the hell out of town. Love it or leave it. Love it or leave it. Love it or leave it. Go live in an agrarian society. Go live in a hut. Go live someplace in a tree. Go, I don't know, eat bananas. You know, go pick them somewhere. Go plant some stuff. I'm nothing wrong with that. Go do it. But quit bitching about the rest of us who are simply trying to get by, trying to get through this life and make it on to the next in a cooperative effort. Some of us are. Doing the least amount of damage we can and asking that everybody, here's a killer for you, pay their fair share. Jesus, what is hard about this? Taxes, I hate them. Social Security. They're just going to print. Where's the gold standard? Oh, for Christ's sake, give me a break, will you? Man. You didn't ask to be born. All of a sudden you're here. You have consciousness. Stop the bitching already. Just get by, okay? What's the problem?
Taxes, Mike.
Oh, shut up. Pay your taxes. I mean, who cares? Look, I have a surprise for some of you right-wingers, whether you know this or not. Eventually, your ass is going to die. Do you understand that? You are going to turn to dirt, mold, musk. Dirt, nothing, unless you get cremated. And within 30 or 40 or 60 years, nobody's ever going to know that you even lived. Nothing. You came from nothing. You're here. You go back to nothing. And you're going to call this program and bitch about the taxes, the Social Security. Well, I'll tell you what has to be done. You're a walking dead man. Or woman. You are. Do you know that? One of these days you're going to suck in a breath and there's just going to be nothing. So lighten up. Feed your brother and sister. Offer them a place to stay. Heal their bone-breaking diseases. Wash the stuff out of their eyes, you know. Carry them for a mile down the road. Stop your bitching. Man. Give somebody the half a sandwich you don't want.
Yeah, Social Security, you know, that's a ripoff.
No, it isn't a ripoff. It's the best we can do, okay? Without becoming, you know, like, well, wow, man, there's ways to do this. You see, you invest in debentures, and then after, you know, and it takes the burden away from the formulator, and then besides that, you know, look, you know, what do you care? You could wake up tomorrow morning, jump out of bed, and have a piece of your heart the size of a 50-cent piece pop out, and you're dead before you hit the floor. So what do you care? Just shut up and go along with the program. Unless it has anything to do with Bush. If it has anything to Bush, fight like hell.
I don't need security. I've got a Colt 45 in here with me. I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
Hey, listen here. I'm a
Republican. You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, yeah, my senior correspondent emailed and said, you know, the people that bitch the most about Social Security, you know, obviously they're not receiving it. I've never heard anyone who receives Social Security badmouth it. But the people that bitch about it the most are the people who, if a hurricane hits their beachfront property or tornado or rips up their trailer or... an earthquake shatters their condo someplace. They're the first ones who run to the government and say, help me out! Give me some money! Help me! I want money! Randall is calling from Atlanta. Randall, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
You're welcome aboard.
Well, thanks. I wanted to talk about the forest issue.
The healthy forest, yeah.
Yes, the House passed.
Hey, listen, can you get us off speakerphone or get out of that barrel because it's screwing up the stuff in here.
I'm sorry, hang on.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, much better.
Okay, well, you know, the House passed a really bad bill today.
Right.
Based on the Healthy Forest Initiative. But I hope the public will start paying attention. I thought it very interesting and very clever for Bush to have this small-time logger there to talk about, you know, how he would benefit from this legislation. But as you pointed out, it's really the big timber companies who are going to benefit from this.
Oh, sure, sure. No, the little guy or the common man or the working class or the middle class, whatever you want to call us, we never, ever, ever benefit from anything the Bush administration has done since it's been in power. It is always the special interest, either the wealthy as a group, and I've got nothing against the wealthy, or the backers of Bush or certain industries. And I defy anyone, liberal, conservative, man, woman, gay, straight, black, white, I don't care what you are, call this program and tell me one single thing George Bush has done that benefits the average person.
Well, you know, Bush talked about how thinning the forest is going to prevent forest fires. But, you know, the big timber companies don't want these little trees. They want the big fat ones because that's where they're going to make their profit. And it's the big trees that are most fire resistant. And it's building roads to get to the big trees that leads to forest fires. In fact, I can give you a quote from one of the Forest Service's own documents. Here it is, quote, "The high rate of human-caused fires has generally been associated with high recreational use in areas of higher road densities," close
sure.
quote. "Most fires start within 100 yards of a road by people."
Yeah, well, it's look, you know this. I can tell from listening to you, Randall. You know this. I know this. Probably 98.8% of the people listening to this program know it. Anything that comes out of Bush's mouth is a lie. If it's Healthy Forest Initiative, that means destroy the forest.
Yep.
Hey, listen, Randall, I'm glad you called in. I hope you call again, pal.
Thanks, bye.
All right, sir. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them. Probably.
A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
What I think. You couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Closing arguments are now complete in the nation's first terror trial since the September 11th attacks. Defense attorneys concluded their efforts this morning to convince the jury that the four men accused of running a terror cell from their Detroit apartment are innocent of the charges. According to published reports, the government's lead witness in the two-month-long trial was a confessed credit card thief who claims the men tried to force him into making phony ID documents for terrorist recruits. The jury received instructions from the federal district court judge this afternoon before beginning deliberations. The United Nations Security Council is meeting to discuss the new draft resolution on ending sanctions against Iraq. It comes just hours after the U.S. said it would seek a vote on the text as early as Wednesday. The resolution was submitted to member states late Monday and includes concessions to countries like France, Russia, and China, which are demanding a greater U.N. role in Iraq. Steve Mort reports from the U.N.
The draft resolution lifts sanctions against Iraq and puts the U.S. and Britain in control of Iraqi oil revenues. The new text says the U.S.-British occupation will last until Iraqis establish an internationally recognized representative government. It had previously demanded the U.S. military presence in Iraq be endorsed for a renewable 12-month period. Unlike the resolution authorizing war against Iraq, this one is likely not to be vetoed, despite concerns raised by some permanent Security Council members. Russia, which is worried about contracts it had under the existing Oil for Food program, has said a deal can be clinched this week. Steve Mort at the United Nations, New York.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patented active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
A German ambulance driver has been arrested for robbing patients as they lay helpless on the way to the hospital. Police said they became suspicious after several patients reported thefts. Authorities found that they were all brought to the hospital during the suspect's shift. They say they set a trap for the 21-year-old who ultimately was caught stealing and arrested. He later confessed. Police
About
said the man said he did it because he was short
of money.
In Freeport, Texas, are on strike today. Jay Small, one of the individuals walking the picket line this morning, says the issue is not about money.
It's a seniority issue. We deal with seniority, and they don't want to use it as a criteria for us to move around in our jobs. They want to take it away from us.
The members of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 564, rejected the company's latest contract offer. There is no word yet on when the two sides will meet for further negotiations.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Child sex abuse investigations of 29 Catholic priests, monks, and church employees in the Metuchen, New Jersey diocese have been dropped with no criminal charges filed.
Some of them were dead. Some of them were outside the statute of limitations. Some of them had didn't rise to the level of any criminal behavior.
Assistant Middlesex County Prosecutor Julie McClure would not discuss the specifics of the sex assault allegations, but said most involved children and occurred as many as 20 years ago. The cases will be handed over to church investigators. Several accused clerics, including Governor James McGreevy's former spiritual advisor, Monsignor Michael Cashman, remain on leaves of absence. A late rally saves stocks from finishing with deep losses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 2 points to finish at 84.91. The Nasdaq recovered from steep losses and finished down a point to 14.91. The S&P 500 lost 1 point and ended at 9.19. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES if you'd like to join in. We are covering a lot of ground tonight. About time, I think. So many nights, it just seems like, I don't know about you, but I get trapped in... In the Bush stuff. Everything we've talked about tonight, though, has a Bush component. Healthy forest initiatives that are really about destroying forests. Chimpanzees that, well, I guess that is a direct, that's really talking about Bush. Oh, never mind. I guess it's just a topic we can't escape, right? Huh? Anyway, 800-TALK-YES is where we are. Dave is calling from Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
You know, Mike, it was touching to hear that Republican fella call from Middletown, Connecticut, and actually want to talk, you know, like policy and stuff from a Republican standpoint. You know, it makes me nostalgic for the day when the Republican Party actually might have been concerned with principle and had some character.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, if he's still listening, I hope he understands that this marriage between right-wing ideologues and religious extremists has not created anything spiritual. It's created something that is, if not evil, certainly bordering on it.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think what goes on in a town council meeting or whatever in Middleton, Connecticut is in even a remote sense, any kind of an indication of what the Republican Party of the United States of America has metastasized into.
No, it's called a coincidence, but I believe the Freedom Trail goes through Middletown, Connecticut.
Really?
The ride of Paul Revere, and mm-hmm. I think of those patriots and what they were fighting for, and the freedom of the human spirit, and how I believe if those people were alive today, they'd be calling your show trying to fight the tyranny that is the Republican Party.
You know, when you said that, I remember the line. Is it Longfellow or who wrote The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere? Listen, my children, and you shall hear of The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere
mm-hmm.
on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is still alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend of the British march, by land or by sea, tonight hang a lantern aloft in the north, in the North Church, or something. One if by land, two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm. God, I remember that poem.
That's beautiful. You must have had a public education, sir.
I did. I had a public education that was just astonishing.
It's interesting when they're willing to pay teachers that they produce quality education.
Mm-hmm.
I actually called, and it's funny. I'll go back to Middletown, Connecticut, where there is beautiful, primitive, pristine forest. I actually was there last summer for a bit, and out here in Silverdale, I can look out my office window and basically look across the Hood Canal at the Olympic National Forest, which a real Republican, Teddy Roosevelt, set aside to protect
mm-hmm.
against the big boys, the fat cats, who mm-hmm. want to basically, they're happy to pay enough taxes to foot the bill to build the infrastructure. They want me to build the roads. They want me to have a government in place to basically protect their money interests. Then they're going to use that to basically they're going to build their fortune off of my back.
That's right.
And they're going to the idea that our president, our leader, is out shilling for these people, telling lies about forestry management, and it is a lie because a forest is a live, natural, organic place. It has diseases sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's a part of the natural order. And that helps thin out the forest. That is a part of the ecology of a forest.
Isn't it bizarre, though, how, and you're making good points, but isn't it bizarre how at least somewhere in the history books, the idea was there, if not the fact in reality, that the president, the leadership, was supposed to represent the interests of the people. He was supposed to come from the people to represent the interests of the people. And now we look at George Bush, and maybe it's unfair of me to just single out George Bush, even though although he is the most egregious example of this, but now the presidency is nothing more than an office that is bought and sold and bought again and sold again, and the people who do the buying and the selling rightfully demand their reward. So I guess where I'm going with that is that wouldn't it be more honest to say instead of calling it the what is it, the Healthy Forest Initiative? Call it the payback to the people in the logging industry who put me in office initiative. And be honest, at least be honest. I think what's making people crazy in this country, at least making me crazy, is this abusive language where up is down, left is right, freedom is slavery, and war is peace. I don't know how much longer I can take it before I go completely berserk and do something terrible that will probably gather front page headlines in some newspaper somewhere.
Well, you already admit to being a liberal. How much more terrible could you be? Huh?
That's true. I don't know.
We're marked as freaks in this society. John Stewart nailed Bush a couple weeks ago with his doublespeak and said that Bush should just have one big policy that's called the everything's the opposite of what I call it policy.
Right, that's it. That's it, exactly. Hey, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. It was 12 by the village clock when he galloped into Concord Town. He saw the village weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, blank and bare, gaze at him with a spectral glare, as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would soon look upon. It was one by the village. Damn, I wish you remembered that. That's a great poem. Somebody will probably call in with the whole bunch of stanzas. If you read that, if you got a public education, how did it go? And then he said goodnight, and with a muffled oar, silently rowed to the Charlestown shore. Just as the moon rose over the bay, where swinging wide at her moorings lay the Somerset, British man of war. She was a phantom ship with each mast and spar across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Remember that? Did you go to public school? Did you learn that sort of stuff when you were sophomore, junior in high school? I'm sure Joe did. Right, Joe? Our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know.
You know what the hell I'm talking about, do you?
Oh, I missed part of it.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Okay.
About 20 years of it, but never mind.
Oh, well. Okay.
No, you're a lot younger, Joe. You're a young dude, and, you know, you young guys just did not get, you did not have a freshman or sophomore or junior English teacher, I'm talking high school, who sat you down and said, class, today we're going to read Longfellow.
No.
You
no.
didn't, and that's okay. Yeah. Well, it's not okay, but, I mean, I certainly don't fault you for it. I'm just playing with you, Joe. I understand.
Yeah. No, but, as far as you talk about everyone taking a dirt nap, quit trying to cheer everyone up, Mike.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying
No, you're not.
These right-wingers who are so intent on putting their teeth in somebody else's thigh bone about, well, I'm paying Social Security, you know, it costs me $18 out of every paycheck, and I don't like... I'm just reminding them of their mortality. That's all. Somebody's got to do it, Joe. I've found that right-wingers... I'm not talking about the religious freaks. They believe they're going to live forever anyway, up someplace in the sky. But these political and fiscal conservatives who don't seem to understand that they're just a recyclable product. You know, they're going to be here, they're going to have consciousness, and then they're going to become dirt, and then they're going to become, I don't know, a petunia stalk. What the hell? But they're not going to be worried about somebody else's Social Security after they switch consciousnesses. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand
all right.
that.
That's
but,
all.
Yeah, but the thing is, I want to...
And it's not a nap. It's forever.
I understand.
Quit okay.
trying to cheer me up. Okay. Now, I want to respond to my fellow...
Well, no, wait a minute, Joe. There's a subtext to what you're saying here tonight. Do you have a problem with death?
Yeah.
Why?
Man,
oh, my God.
Man, I'm too good looking to die, man.
Joe.
Now, the thing is, I called up to respond to my fellow...
Joe, wait. You're going way too fast. I'm into you. You know, you usually control the conversation when you call in here. So I just want to ask you, what is this subtext about, this fear of death? I mean, what's to fear?
It's... Well, I mean,
if you were, all right, work.
Spend the rest of the show talking.
No, wait a second. Just work backwards from your consciousness now. If you work backwards from your consciousness now, you have to work back through infinity. And that's, literal infinity. Because if you keep going back prior to your birth and then just run the time machine back, it goes out for an infinite amount of time and space. Now, you're here. You suck air. You die. Now you run the machine the other way. Infinite amount of time. That's how long you're going to be dead. That's how long before you were born. So what's the point? I mean, what's to worry about? What's the issue? I mean, death is nothing except that. Nothing.
Okay.
So,
cool.
But I just wonder why a couple of times we touched on death, I mean, you were just kind of like, whoa, man, don't be talking about dirt naps. I mean, yo, stop. You know, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that gets cheered up when you start talking like that. Anywho.
But it's just part of living.
I understand.
I mean, Joe, it's you know.
I'm contemplating the whole thing.
I've read this. Somebody much wiser than me said none of us really fear death. We just fear the instrument of death or the sort of death. None of us really fear death. How can you fear nothing?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, now
philosophical here. Now I.
All right, now you want to respond to Kevin in Connecticut, right?
Oh hell yes.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Yes, the deal is and I would call him Republican light because he's a little light when it comes to the IQ level.
Yeah.
You know, I am so sick and tired of my fellow Gen Xers who get exploited on this Social Security issue by Republicans like Bush and the rest of them, and they say, you know, it's not going to
be. Hey, can you hold on a second?
Yeah.
Okay, just hold on a second. I'll come back to you because we got to take a break here, and I know you have more to say. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullen.
Our times have come.
Driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, we're talking with Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. All right, Joe, now, you before I got you all sidetracked on the mysteries of death and everything, you wanted to respond to Kevin in Connecticut, and I know you started to respond, and I've just totally forgot here during the four-minute break how far you got in that response.
Oh, well, yes, you know, how some of my fellow Gen Xers...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
...get sidetracked by the Republicans, because they're always being told that the Social Security isn't going to be there
right.
when we retire. You know, and, of course, this all pisses me off, because the simple answer to that is, number one, get the crooked politicians in D.C. to quit stealing from the Social Security Fund, which they've been doing for decades. And number two, do you know that what was said the other day that the Pentagon was missing $1 trillion
or
somewhere,
yeah.
and they didn't know where it went?
I
don't know. Have you misplaced $1 trillion lately?
No, I.
Have you misplaced $1 billion lately?
Well, see, all that spending should be handled by credit card. Just get MasterCard or Visa, or better yet, get American Express, because that's just a charge card, not a credit card. You have to pay up every month.
Yeah.
But have all purchases, every single purchase for all the missiles and tanks and death and destruction and bombs. Charge it on a credit card, then that money doesn't get lost, dude. The credit card companies, they ain't going to lose nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Those bills will be there. They'll be there on time. And if you jerk them around, well, they'll put you back in that 18% interest category. So that's what they ought to do. Just pay for everything by credit card. There will be nothing lost.
Yeah, so, you know, from what I've noticed, there isn't much wrong. There isn't anything more wrong with the Social Security system that there is with any other government program. Do you think anyone is ever going to say, "Oh, we don't have enough money for the defense budget. We're just going to have to shut the Pentagon down."
I hear you.
We're just going to close the building down. So that's that would be a good place to start. That would be my answer to my fellow Gen Xers.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your call. Look, the Social Security system is probably, I don't know, because can anyone think of a more successful system devised and run by government? Okay, there may be other programs devised by and run by government that are more successful than Social Security. But I can't think what it would be. Maybe somebody else can, and we'll call in. Lynn is calling from Buffalo, New York. Lynn, welcome to the program. This is your first time?
Oh, hi.
First time calling,
yeah,
right?
I've never called in before. I've listened to it every night, though.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to tell you, I think you were talking about public schools earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought you'd be interested to know. A lot of people seem amused at the fact that we took our daughter out of school to homeschool her,
mm-hmm.
but to give her a liberal education.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, her history book is The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
Howard Zinn. Well, good for you. You know, that's what is going on. It used to be religious people who didn't want their children exposed to the ugliness of evolution and that sort of thing, who took their kids out of school and homeschooled them. And, you know, I have heard more and more about people who, in fact, want a liberal, in the old sense of the word, a liberal education. That is, you know, art, science, music, math, history, a literature that has not been corrupted and polluted by ring political correctness. So good for you. Good for you.
No, the thing is my daughter's 14 years old.
Can I get you to hold on?
Sure.
Let me put you on hold. We'll take this break, and then we'll come back and continue. We're talking with Lynn in Buffalo, New York. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. A first stab at a new contract for 19,000 workers at Goodyear tire plants across the country has failed. Negotiators for the United Steelworkers of America, which represents the workers, say the company's first offer calls for several thousand job cuts and wage and benefit concessions for those employees who survive. The current contract expired last month, and while the workers have authorized a strike, the contract is being extended day by day while negotiations continue.
Professional boxers may soon have a shot at union representation. A new division of the Teamsters Union called JAB, the Joint Association of Boxers, seeks to win an industry-wide collective bargaining agreement that would bring guaranteed health insurance and pensions to boxers. Promoters are expected to argue that fighters are independent contractors and therefore not entitled to union representation.
During the school year that just ended last month in Japan, sixth grade students were supposed to have classes on patriotism added to their social studies curriculum. But a survey of Japan's 24,000 elementary schools finds fewer than 200 actually followed the government mandate. Japan's main teachers' union slammed the patriotism initiative, saying it harkens back to a time when a heavy dose of nationalism helped the country set off a world war.
Walmart's war on workers has so far kept unions at bay in the United States, but the United Food and Commercial Workers Union is one step closer to organizing a Walmart store in Canada. This week, the Labor Relations Board of the Canadian province of British Columbia ruled that Walmart broke the law in its bid to keep a store in the city of Quesnel union-free. The Labor Board has ordered store managers to read its ruling aloud to employees, and it's also ordered the retailer to set aside a half hour of company time for union organizers to address employees on the benefits of unionization. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are talking with Lynn in Buffalo, New York. All right, Lynn, you're homeschooling your children to make sure they have a good liberal education, and you wanted to share something with us?
Yeah, well, two things. One of the lessons I did with her is she was able to watch something on the computer where Mrs. Laura Bush was supposed to have a bunch of poets come to the White House and deliver poetry.
And she canceled
it. When she found out they were anti-war, she wouldn't let the people in.
Right.
And they videotaped it, and my daughter got to watch the whole thing, and she was furious, so she started reading all the poems, and that was one of our assignments, was to go through all of them and read them and discuss them.
Good for you.
And I got her reading some of the Beatnik poetry. But one thing I wanted to tell you is that just quite a bit before the war, I'd say, it was about 3 weeks before the war, it was about probably after the April 15th, the huge protest.
Mm-hmm.
I had her watch C-SPAN, the journal, Washington Journal. I said, you write something. If you were to write in, what would you say? And this is just a few things that she wrote. Now, this is just, mind you, right after February 15th, and she's 14. She wrote, for all we know, nothing we hear in the newspapers or on the TV could be all lies piling up. Now, should we have a government that we're not sure of? Being Americans who make the economy go around, we don't need a government, especially one that we're unsure of. Mm. And then later she says, they say, yes, American people have a voice, bullshit. American people don't have any say in what this president's doing right now. And then she goes on to say, for God's sake, someone writes all his speeches for him. Whether or not these people go out and protest or sit on their asses and stay home, this government's going to do whatever it pleases when it pleases. And I thought that you'd be interested in hearing that came from a 14-year-old. So when you've got these Gen X's calling up and they're all freaking confused, you know, that's, I don't know why they're confused, but they better wake up because there's kids a lot younger than are going to come over and they're going to snatch their jobs because they got more brains and they're figuring out what's going on in the world. So let me pass that on to your guy with the Social Security issue.
Way to go, Lynn. Thanks a lot. Call us again.
Okay, bye.
All right, you take care. That's great. Okay, I want to do this because Dave Ward sent this in, and also Marcia Johns. And thank you very much, because it's been a long time since I read this. Paul Revere's Ride by Longfellow. I'm not going to do the whole thing, although it is great. It is some of the best imagery. And yes, it's written in metered verse, but it is such great imagery. I just want to do some of the last part. Can you indulge me tonight? Is that right, Kathy? Can I do it? Okay. This is he gets a signal from his friend who stays at Arch Tower. And the friend gives the signal, one if by land, two if by sea, yada, yada. So it comes, doesn't it come as one? It's one... the signal is by land. No. So Paul gave the warning. It was 12, that would be midnight. It was 12 by the village clock when he crossed the bridge into Medford Town. He heard the crowing of the cock and the barking of the farmer's dog and felt the damp of the river fog that rises after the sun goes down. It was 1 by the village clock when he galloped into Lexington. He saw the gilded weathercock swim in the moonlight as he passed, and the meeting house windows, blank and bare, gaze at him with a spectral glare as if they already stood aghast at the bloody work they would soon look upon. It was 2 by the village clock when he came to the bridge in Concord Town. He heard the bleating of the flock and the twitter of birds among the trees and felt the breath of the morning breeze blowing over the meadows brown. And one was safe and asleep in his bed, who at the bridge would be first to fall, who that day would be lying dead, pierced by a British musket ball. You know the rest in the books you have read, how the British regulars fired and fled, how the farmers gave them ball for ball from behind each fence and farmyard wall, chasing the redcoats down the lane, then crossing the fields to emerge again under the trees at the turn of the road, and only pausing to fire and load. And so through the night rode Paul Revere. And so through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock on the door, and a word that shall echo forevermore, for born on the night wind of the past, through all our history to the last, in the hour of darkness and peril and need, the people will waken and listen to hear the hurrying hoofbeats of that steed and the midnight message of Paul Revere. To arms. To arms. Now see, when you read that when you're in high school, it just makes you want to go enlist. No, it doesn't. But it gives a sense of liberty and the price that A, has to be paid for liberty, and B, how precious liberty is. What do we have now? What do we have now for our junior and senior high school students that compares with the words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? What do we have? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. What do we have? Do we have Bush landing on the USS Abraham Lincoln? What compares in popular culture with Longfellow describing 70, 80 years after the fact, Paul Revere's Midnight Ride? And in the meter, I'm not very good at describing the cadence of this poetry, but in the meter that it's written, especially after Paul Revere gets the signal from the North Church Tower, and I remember my English teacher pointing this out to me, you feel the horse. You can feel the horse under you. It was 12 by the village clock when he galloped into Medford Town. How do we get that now? I'm serious. I realize we're diverting here in talk radio. We're supposed to be political talk radio. I realize this is one hell of a diversion. But where do we get that now? It just suddenly occurred to me that the poetry, the American poets who wrote about these sorts of things, and whose work we were exposed to, gave us more of a sense of liberty than 1,000 lapel pins flapping on TV anchor people. It was the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is still alive or remembers that famous day and year. And so through the night rode Paul Revere, and so through the night went his cry of alarm, a cry of defiance and not of fear. Okay, I'm sorry. Mia apologia. Well, Kathy says, no, you're supposed to say mea culpa. No, I'm apologizing. How did this pop up? I have no idea how this popped up. But thanks a lot to Marcia and Dave for sending in the entire poem. It's just in there. You know, certain things that you get when you're at certain levels of your development, and they stick in your head. And I am just so grateful that that stuck in my head. The opening lines to The Rime of the Ancient Mariner is in there, too. But this, I wonder sometimes, how do kids understand liberty? I'm not talking about freedom. I'm talking about liberty. And how visceral an emotion, a feeling it is. I mean, what? For liberty, at your any society. I was thinking back in the 80s, apartheid was being so struggled against in South Africa. So many American right-wing politicians were supporting apartheid, supporting the order of it all, and the oppression and the suppression of it all. How could kids then, 15, 18, 20 years ago, understand liberty, understand why people like Nelson Mandela, why they were so important, why Paul Revere was so important, why the Minutemen were so important. I don't know. Just off on a tangent. Never mind. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. I figured I'd get the last word at like 59:30 or something.
No, you
I couldn't stand it anymore. I was listening on my computer and had to hang up in order to give you a call. I'm just proud of you tonight, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The little poetry rant's so right because I had that self-same public education.
Did you?
And you know what? I know the conservatives would accuse us of spinning anything to be an anti-Republican rant, but, you know, the fact of the matter is public education has been stolen by them.
Yeah, it has. It has. I am, you know, I sometimes struggle with the reality of how old I'm becoming, but I am so grateful of the education that I had at the time I had it in this country. There was an awful lot of ugliness going on in the United States in the 50s, but I'll tell you what. Public education still had not been tampered with to the extent that it has now, and I'm just grateful as hell that I got the education I got from public schools all the way through up to and including whatever education I've gotten on a university level has always been in the public education arena. It's never been in private schools.
Well, I have long sworn that the education that my parents got up to a high school level here in Westford, the level of a college education by 1975,
mm-hmm.
because there was leaning over me, repeating the prologue to the
campaign. Graduated high school, literally graduated, and back in the 50s, sorry to say, they used to track us without you knowing or your parents knowing, and this is one of the things I resent about the 50s, for all my classmates who were tracked into an academic education, and it was based when you were in second grade, first grade, third grade, before you had a chance to say, wait a second, I don't necessarily want to a vocational, I would like to be, you know, a lot of ugliness going on behind the scene, but by the educators, by the teachers, but a determination had been made that an educated middle class was absolutely necessary. Now the determination seems to be that an educated middle class is the last thing that these neoconservatives want. What they want are people who will sit around and discuss the fine points of the Bible and when Christ will reappear and how soon before we all get to rapture. And isn't that a funny story by Charles Darwin?
Well, not just that, but my daughter is a freshman in high school, and they've got her to the point. She's got four classes in a day,
mm-hmm.
and it's horrifying. I don't know how you learn algebra in an hour.
I know,
but you were sort of. But rhyming isn't necessarily bad, and got hip hop to prove it.
There you go. There you go.
And that may be the new public education. I don't know.
There
good
you go.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But just
yeah.
to throw another one your way. You were talking about those you know, real patriots,
mm-hmm.
and I was reminded of the opening lines of Gunga Din.
I remember some of the I remember the closing lines by the
living God that made you.
You are though I've belted you and flayed you by the living, you are a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Well, I got you quartered safe out here, and
really?
You're sent to penny fight. When it comes to slaughter, you'll do your work on water and thank the boots of him that's got it. And oddly, if I'm not mistaken, that was written during one of Britain's Afghan campaigns.
It not only that, but of course the poet was one of the great advocators, if that's the word, of British imperialism.
And the white man's burden.
And the white man's burden.
He coined
that's
that
right.
term.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
well,
we
could just go on all night here, couldn't we?
Yeah, we
Robin?
Could. And I guess as a final thought, regardless of how one looks at the afterlife, even if you come back as a gently stewed stalk of rhubarb,
right, right.
You're still part of the process, and who's to say that isn't what Jesus and Buddha and all those people were talking about when they said that it was paradise. So,
who's to say indeed?
Yes, indeed. You have a good night, Mike.
Thanks, Robin.
Peace.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you checking in tonight. Somebody wants to talk about I saw the best minds of my generation. Ooh, must be Terry from Petaluma, California. Hey, Terry.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Yeah, how?
Hysterical naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters burning for the ancient heavenly connection to the starry dynamo and the machinery of night.
My man, Allen Ginsberg.
Who, poverty and tatters and hallowed-eyed and high, set up smoking in the supernatural darkness of cold water flats floating across the tops of cities, contemplating jazz. Who bared their brains to heaven under the ill. Saw Mohammedan angels staggering on tenement roofs illuminated who passed through universities with radiant, cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake, light tragedy among the scholars of war, who were expelled from the academies for crazy and publishing obscene odes of the windows of the skull.
I feel like I should snap my fingers. That's good. That's good. I haven't. I'll tell you another one from that era too. I think it was Lawrence Ferlinghetti, or was it Ginsberg, who wrote Christ Climb Down. That must have been Ferlinghetti.
I think it was. Yeah.
That is a powerful beat poem. Somebody mentioned the beats tonight. I think the woman who is homeschooling her children in Buffalo, New York. The beat poets have been underplayed as having influence on the social and political thought in this country from the progressive left, even though so many of them are very conservative. Jack Kerouac and so many of the people were politically conservative, but their writing was powerful. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back in a second because we got to take a quick break here. Talking about a beatnik, how about this one?
A golden voice and 27 angels from the great beyond. They tied me to this table right here in the Tower of Song. So you can stick your little pins in that voodoo doll. I'm very sorry, baby, doesn't look like me at all. I'm standing by the window where the light is strong.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be
on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by liquidity, will, and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Boy, time just rips by when you have fun. We're talking to Terry in Petaluma, California. This is your first time calling the program, right, Terry?
Yeah, Mike. I sent you an email earlier today. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's concerning an interview that was done with a guy named Stanley Hilton. And Stanley Hilton is an attorney who's representing some of the survivors of the 911.
I haven't seen the specific interview that you're referring to, but you're talking about the lawsuit?
He has done some probing, and he's found out things like the FBI was paying the 911 hijackers rent and paying them salaries, that some of them were involved with the Oklahoma City bombing, that some of them are still alive. One of them was married. His wife's been interviewed at least 30 times by the FBI. That there's a thing called Golden Hawk that the military has said they were not deployed, but they have deployed it. And it's a device, a technological device that allows them to remote control airplanes.
You know, so much of what you're saying, I have heard and read about on various sites. Now, are you websites? Are you saying that an attorney representing the 911 survivors' families is making these charges? And,
yes.
And you sent me a link to it. I'll check it out. I'll tell you, I honestly believe that. Well, I'm not an advocate, not yet anyway, not quite, of open rebellion, revolution in this country. I believe that were we to find out that the Bush administration, I won't even use the term crime family here, but the Bush administration had knowledge of this or were complicit in this attack on this country, I honestly believe this country would erupt. There would be no, you know, police riding their horses into demonstrators on 8th Avenue or 7th Avenue in New York. There would be a tidal wave of...
You've heard of PNAC, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, they stayed in there that they were looking... They need a Pearl Harbor.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me. Since they didn't get one on September 11th, what they got was an act of mass murder, not an act of war. And, of course, Pearl Harbor was an act of war. I'm afraid that these right wingers, the knuckle draggers, are going to do something that will give them their Pearl Harbor, and that's at that point, that's the time that I take up arms and start quoting Longfellow and marching off to war.
Well, Mike, I think 911 was their Pearl Harbor. It would allow them to generate the fear that they're using to manipulate.
Well, they are doing that. Hey, Terry, listen, I want you to call in again, but we got a boogeyman. We are out of here. Thanks, Terry. Tonight's program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. My name is Mike Malloy. I'll see you tomorrow, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the Radio 145. Join the resistance. Give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Elite members of Algeria's Special Intervention Forces have reportedly arrived deep in the Sahara Desert to begin overseeing efforts to free 15 kidnapped European tourists. At least two daily newspapers in the region are reporting that a conditional green light has been given to prepare to launch an all-out assault designed to secure the release of the adventure seekers. The group of 10 Germans, 4 Swiss, and 1 Dutchman disappeared months ago along with 17 other vacationers while traveling in a lawless area known for its ancient tourist attractions. It took more than 117 during a desert rescue operation said to arrest of 1 Algerian soldier and 7 rebel hostage takers. The rebels are believed to be part of the Islamic militant Salafist group for preaching and combat. British troops have shot a suspected looter in Iraq near Basra. Military police sergeant Graham Smith says they responded to crowds in a marketplace in Hayania, shouting Ali Baba, Ali Baba. After a short pursuit, the looter aimed a rocket-propelled grenade launcher at them.
We saw this man and another with heads wrapped in scarves running along here, one with RPG, one with Kalashnikov. We fired a warning shot into the wall, 1, 2, 3, and then he turned. As